It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
And that's my impression of a really apathetic emergency preparedness signal.
It's good.
What's it called? I haven't heard it in so long.
Emergency broadcast.
Broadcast system. I used to absolutely have that memorized. I could do the whole spiel. But it's weird now in the days with at least for me, I've got digital cable. So what happens is you get like 5 seconds and then they're like, there's some shit going down. If you want more, turn to this channel. And then they have a channel that's the broadcast channel. So they will break in, but just for a few seconds. To let you know that if you want to know more, go over there.
I pretty much ignore those now because you get the alert and then you do what everyone does. You rush out because as soon as there's an emergency, everyone wants the piece of that action. And then there's just too many people there and it's no fun.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't even know why they alert anyone anymore.
For a second, I had no idea what the fuck you were talking about. And then I remembered you have a goatee.
Well, I know it's turning white, but...
This should be a fun game for people at home. Without you can't see him. Can you tell when William is play acting and being serious? Because I can sort of get it. Because at a certain point, he can't keep his face straight. But I feel like if I closed my eyes, I would have no idea. So that would be interesting to know. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that knows the difference between Hank Azaria and Horatio Sanz. And that is an inside joke for me and one other person who does not listen to the podcast.
Okay, then.
I'm Evil Tony.
And I'm Evil William.
And we don't know what episode number this is.
Nope.
If you've never listened before, good on you. Keep that shit up. If you're determined to stick around, here's how this thing works. This hat is magic in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. I always expect you to do that with your head, but you don't usually do that with your head. And folks, gullible folks, bored folks, shut-ins.
Shut-ins.
I assume.
No, shut-ins get Meals on Wheels. They're less. They're
can
less.
Do more than one thing.
They're less pathetic than the people that listen to this
random homeless podcast listeners. Write in to that address, the email I'm talking about at gmail.com, with little notes, comments, questions, topics, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards. With the information written on them that manifests physically within the hat itself. A couple of other losers draw the note cards out at random, read them on the air, talk about them until we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the show. We have to do it when they can't. I recently learned something interesting. Barring a cash situation, if you were going to buy an actual gift for a homeless person...
Mm-hmm.
You know what is a very good gift for a homeless person?
What's that?
Gym membership.
Okay.
It's a place to get where they can get out of the elements.
Mm-hmm.
It's a place where they can shower.
Mm-hmm.
It's a place, generally there's some basic comfort amenities, but there's a whole place where they can shower and be clean. In a lot of cases, there is a locker situation, so they can actually store stuff, potentially there. Apparently, yeah, for people to know, this is a very big thing. It's a very, other than, like, a home, it's a very useful thing, because it's close. It's you know, a transitive home that you absolutely have the right to be there. It's not like somebody's going to kick you out or something, because
Interesting.
You know, that's your
that's a good thought. Thing.
Yeah, I had not thought of that, but I'm like, that makes
sense. Why are you having a good thought?
I talk to people sometimes. You got to keep your finger in.
I guess.
To know, I mean, as a very wise person once said, you can't fight good without knowing good.
Well, and I guess now you know that it's a good idea to go and try to close down all of the
gyms. Yeah, 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 or, you know, kill homeless people. Or.
Well,
I know it's easy, but I'm tired of dealing with homeless people.
Okay.
What I'm
saying. All right.
So just kill them all and let...
You know, you're usually just so much more creative.
And let Darwin sort them out.
Like, usually you enjoy the process.
I know.
You know?
I'm really focused right now on some very specific mixed race ethnicities.
Oh.
Very specific ones. Like, okay. Quarter this, eighth that, like... Very specific combinations, of which there's only like a handful of people.
Mm.
But those people are all still alive, and I'm just slowly deconstructing their world around them.
That sounds like a
horrific way.
That sounds like a lot of work.
It is, but it's you do it for the love of the art.
Sure, that's like, right. It's the craft.
Yeah, yeah. Craft. When I'm finished, and you know, the process is part of it. Is very much part of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, at this point. I'm like, you know, just get them. I mean, if you, I am not saying you can't do something amazing destroying homeless people. You go nuts and do that. I'm just saying it's not my thing. They're kind of in my way at
gotcha.
The moment.
Gotcha. I understand.
All of these other individuals I'm going after have homes, coincidentally.
Mm.
So it's just not on my radar. Right
okay.
Now.
I get you. I understand.
But I mean, if you want to blow up a gym or something, we could make a weekend of that.
I'm doing other stuff.
All right. Hey, taking pennies.
Yep. And having
kicking
kids
ass and running out of bubblegum.
Having kids pick them up.
You still haven't seen that movie.
What?
They Live.
No, sure I have.
You have seen that movie?
Oh gosh, yes. That's my favorite line from the movie.
Oh, it's everybody's favorite line from that movie.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not really unique.
I watched, I think I told you about, Future Force, the David Carradine thing that's like RoboCop without the Robo.
Hmm.
And it had a sequel called Future Zone that's almost the same plot, but it's a sequel, and it also involves David Carradine's son time traveling from the future.
Hmm.
I mean, to the nearer future, I guess.
His real son?
No!
That'd be funny.
The fucking director's son!
Oh, okay!
yeah, writer and director. His son, which is funny.
Okay.
But they have this scene that is so eerily reminiscent of the fist fight in They Live.
Because
they literally just punch each other until they cannot stand anymore.
That fight in They Live is so... I mean, it's... I don't really like fight scenes, but it's, like, well done. And it's long, but it's like, works.
Because it feels real. I mean,
yeah, it does feel real.
It feels like some... dumbass people. Like, it's not a martial arts fight. It feels like two stupid drunks at closing in a bar, but it absolutely feels like that's you throw your punches and you don't really know what you're doing and you just sort of go back and it's so goddamn long, which I think puts you in the moment because, like, they're agonizing. You're like, oh my god, like the crushing weight of how long this has been going on. Like, yeah, no, it's weird.
It doesn't seem boring. It seems like, how long can they keep this up? That's kind of what I was thinking while I was watching. Like, can they really do this for 10 minutes or whatever? Yeah. But it never looks fake or...
No.
Which you expect it would because, you know...
Just in general, like, that's another one of those. That movie is awesomely bad because that movie sucks.
Oh, yeah, terrible.
But it's also really awesome in a lot of ways. There's some really interesting stuff in it. There's some real funny stuff that's not on purpose. There's some real original stuff in there.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's all just a hot mess also.
Yeah.
Oh, that would have made a good New Year's Eve movie. Alright. So, how's your evil life been?
I saw The Last Sith.
Oh.
It was kind of a setting where, Darth Maul...
Careful.
Darth Maul's so self-doubting. You know, he's talking to Kylo Ren, and he's suggesting maybe there shouldn't be Sith. I was like, what? What kind of deal is this? I almost walked right out of the theater.
Darth Maul is your go-to for that? I guess there's not another good choice then.
No.
It's not a one-to-one parallel. It's hard.
No, it really isn't. No.
But you can't.
But.
Oh, Ray Park.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, it'll make $3 billion, so.
So it'll just be a so-so movie.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
And then there's that 20-minute segment in the middle, all advertising some sort of Chinese confectionery product.
Yeah, it won't be nearly as good as The Four Slumbers.
I see what you did there.
That made a lot of money.
Mostly in the merchandising.
Well, I mean, you know, how can you beat 2.5 hours of, you know, thousands of people, including younglings, getting, you know, mowed down with red lightsabers? I mean, people can watch that for hours.
I can't talk about that. I fucking hate this podcast. Grab the hat. Do some hat things. Also, I feel like you may be putting us in time by talking about these things.
Well, I believe you said that They Live would make a good New Year's movie, so. Or would have.
Yeah, but we already aired the episode. Well, all this proves is... No. I'm saying if you're deductive about it...
Okay,
it's
okay.
It's not a real spoiler.
Okay. Mark McKibben wants to know. It's a question.
That makes sense.
What is your favorite podcast that listeners to the Magical Talking Hat are not likely to already be listening to? I don't really listen to any other podcasts.
Now
so.
we gotta hear William make up a bunch of fake evil podcasts.
I should have done that, but I don't know how I would do that.
Well, I no longer listen to any podcasts, including this one. so I mean, I can only hit the obvious ones. Welcome to Night Vale. It's great. Highly recommend you start that one in the beginning because it's radio fiction. It's not like a chat show kind of thing. But that one's really solid. Indoor Kids was real fun. Kumail Nanjiani and his wife. In the very beginning, it was Kumail Nanjiani and somebody else, but that person left and his wife replaced that person. Talking about video games, so that's a very good one.
Who's the guy that he was here and I was sitting and we saw him live, but he was in those IBM Apple commercials. What's his name?
John Hodgman.
Yeah. He used to have a podcast where he was like a judge and people would come on.
He had a TV show like that too, I think. Yeah, well, Judge John Hodgman.
Yeah, well, he had a podcast that way too. I never listened to it, but my brother did. And so sometimes when I'd go home and we'd be driving somewhere, he'd play it. It was pretty funny.
Mark Maron, WTF, I've heard has got some really good interviews. I've heard some of the interviews out of that. He had one with Robin Williams that was really good. He had one with Todd Glass where Todd Glass came out as gay during that podcast. And Todd Glass had not intended to come out as gay during that podcast.
Wow.
Yeah. Mark Maron has that ability that apparently Conan O'Brien also sort of has, that like just sort of the way he is, people get stuff gets drawn out of them. And they end up saying more than that. Like, not like you tricked me or something. They end up feeling comfortable. I don't know if it's comfortable or not. I can't imagine people being comfortable around Mark Maron, so I don't know what it is, but yeah, I don't listen to a lot of podcasts. The Escape Artist podcasts are good if you just like short fiction. There's Escape Pod, Podcastle, and Pseudopod that are short science fiction, fantasy, and horror fiction, respectively. I would recommend those. For the most part, I always like podcasts that I'd be like, hey, I know this person. I find them entertaining to listen to. So I don't even really care what the podcast is.
Yeah.
If I was going to listen now, there's a podcast out there called Nerd Poker that is Brian Posehn and some other comedians playing D&D. I would totally listen to that, I think. Yeah.
They're Pokemon. Cute.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's all I got. I don't got much, so. I don't got much. Because I don't listen to podcasts. That may be all there is to say. Aaron Neville is one of those that everyone can do an impression of. None of them are very good. It's a little like Christopher Walken that way.
I guess.
This is from Jazz.
Okay, Jazz.
Already hurting my brain.
Oh.
Okay, I'm going to do this in what I think Jazz sounds like.
I wish you wouldn't do that.
Okay, I won't do it.
What are you doing?
That's what I think. You mean she doesn't sound like that? I've never heard her, so I don't...
No, she doesn't talk.
I don't
like
even
that.
Know what that is.
I don't either.
Is it like a James Cagney?
No.
Oh, you dirty podcast.
No.
Is it like Christopher Walken?
Why are you acting like you don't know? She helped with a project we worked on.
Oh, shit. That's right. There were a lot of people with a lot of voices there.
That's
I don't
true.
Remember. I do have a voice in my head of what I think Jazz sounds like, and I don't know if it came from that or just my imagination, because I have that with people. Like, I have what I think they sound like, what I think they look like, that kind of thing. I've seen pictures of Jazz, so I know what she
looks
like.
She does these, some of her lectures she puts on a, I don't know, there's some kind of online format, so you can listen to them,
ooh.
And so she'll send them to me sometimes so I can hear them.
Jazz, you should send some to me, because I'm totally interested in listening to them, and I will never get around to it, but I will want to, so you should send them.
They're very good, and I could listen to her talk about stuff all day. She's got a nice voice, and she's got intelligent things to say.
She clearly could listen to us talk all day, because she does.
I guess.
What's wrong with you people? All right, anyway, Jazz says, what do you think? Should I do it in Welsh?
Yeah, do it in Welsh.
I was watching an old episode of QI recently, and they had, this is the longest word ever, and it was in ancient Greek, and they're like, what is that? And one of them rang in and says, is that the Greek spelling of that place in North Wales?
That's good. That's good.
All right, Jazz says, what? I have the urge to do it again.
What's wrong with you?
Why do you think that the epic, that's with a capital E, is just a Western form in ancient literature? What does it show about differences between Eastern and Western cultures?
Well, that's interesting.
It is, but I feel like I have no position to be able to discuss it. I would not have been able to tell you before reading this question that the epic is just a Western form of ancient literature.
You know, I'm not sure I would have thought about that either. I'm sure.
Does
if I knew it, it's because she told me that once, probably.
Does the Mideast count as Western? Because in Gilgamesh, an epic, and isn't it from...
Well, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. You'd have to ask Jazz.
But... Unless she's talking about that DreamWorks movie that did not do very well. I never saw that.
Well,
it does seem like there's a thing though. When you look at the ancient world, there's a lot more of these like really long ass poems and stories.
Well, there's there's also.
I mean, I can come up with racist explanations, but I don't feel like those are probably right.
Racist explanations. Well, like, I don't know. It might be connected to other differences that you tend to see, like. I don't think that, it's kind of a chicken or egg thing, isn't it? What I'm thinking in my head is, it seems like that when you look at the West, the treatment of divine beings is significantly different. Now, you do have, in Hindu religion, you've got a lot of divine beings, and you've got some very involved stories, and a lot of scriptures, actually. I don't know if I would call any of those stories epics, though. Because it's not like you have one really long story. You just have a lot of these, a huge collection of shorter stories. So, but like Buddhism, I'm trying to think. I mean, you don't. I mean, they're
get fully enlightened.
There's some schools of Buddhism.
Listen
that.
Listen carefully, see if you can hear the moment.
There's some schools of Buddhism that, I mean, most people consider to be atheistic, really. You know what I mean? They're not really about a divine
or a,
being.
Or potentially agnostic, but yeah.
Yeah, right. Or
yeah, the school that I followed for that year and a half that I was Buddhist in junior high, I think I'm one of the few people who can say that, was very agnostic in the sense that, like, basically, it didn't matter. Like, that was not
the point
of
right,
any
right,
of it.
Right, right.
So there might be, there might not be, doesn't change things.
So, outside of, again, maybe outside of Hinduism, I don't know quite where that fits in all this, but, like, when I think of the even the myths that I've studied for, like, Japan and China and things like that, it seems like, well, another thing to consider is when I think anthropologically, as I've looked at myth and how myths are built and culture and things like that, is it seems like the further back you go with anyone, in the East or West, the closer you get to a culture that mostly the deities, if they can even be called that, are spirits, and they're kind of like, they're treated like relatives, more like, you know, like you
well, I mean, in some cases, yeah.
Well, even if they're not ancestral, like, you know, this
is more familial.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And this
is my god. His name's Frank.
The notion, pretty cool. The notion of gods that, like, we have in the West is almost something that comes along after we start having, you know, cities and empires and stuff, because that makes sense, because you're trying to make the emperor god, right, a god. And you want the gods.
I'm not trying to.
Well, that's
why you looked at me when you said
no,
that.
No, that's something the culture is trying to do. Now, of course, they had emperors in China and Japan, but they still seem to stick with, like in Japan especially, they still seem to stick with the old Shinto spirits. You see what I'm saying?
The emperor is still divine, though.
Yeah, but
the emperor was a direct descendant of Amaterasu, I want to say.
Right, and there were gods, kind of, I mean, I don't know. The more I study these things myself personally, the harder it is for me to use the term God to apply to what certain other cultures
call a divinity.
Well, yeah,
Shinto concepts of kami are not gods per se.
Yeah.
They're spirits.
Right.
See, I'm just wondering, well, first of all, I mean, and we normally stay so rigidly on topic here, so I don't know. But you have gone from the concept of what the epic has to do with how different cultures talk about the divine.
Yeah.
I don't think those two are necessarily, I mean, there's overlap.
Right.
I don't think there's anything about an epic that says it has to be about divinity. And I think there are probably examples in which it was not.
No, I realize that, but what I'm saying is that I think in the West there was, both the East and West, as far as I can observe, depending on what country you're talking about, the people in power would co-opt, so to speak, religion for their own purposes. But in the West, they did do it in a little bit different way than they did in the East.
Okay.
I feel like in the East, and specifically with, say, China and Japan, they did it with a little more respect and deference to the sacred. I think in the West it was done with a little bit more cynicism and a little bit more, let's make the gods in our image. I mean, like, consciously so. And so the gods turned into characters, you know, that were basically human, but maybe with certain powers. And then that's the epic sort of built around that. And pretty soon the epic became this thing all by itself, which, like you said, it doesn't have to be about gods. But I think first what probably happened, at least, and I don't know, I'm kind of making this up as I go along, obviously, because I've never thought about this before, is that it started out I think the West is going to be using religion in a more cynical and more propaganda type of way, in a more deliberate propaganda way, than the East, which is going to use religion for its own purposes, but it's also going to respect it more, it seems like.
Yeah, I don't know of any. None of that rings true for me.
Well, it just seems like whenever I look at like in China and the emperor being divine or whatever, and I read about specific Chinese emperors, they more or less they really seem to take that seriously. Even the ones that are very tyrannical and abusive. Whereas when I read about Western leaders and them, you know, ascending to the point of God like Caesar or whatever, I don't get the sense that they want everyone else to think they're God, but, you know, they don't really take that part seriously. They're just glad that everybody else thinks it, and then they're going to go out and do terrible things. I don't know if that's... I don't know why I'm thinking that right now. Maybe as I listen to this later, I'll change my mind about that, but it's just that's just the initial impression I get. Mm. And how the East and the West differ in how they treat the whole the emperor is God thing. Whether they take it seriously or whether it's kind of a cynical propaganda thing and they know it, or I think there's a lot of, well, not all epics are propaganda either. Some of them are actually subversive.
Not at all. Like
subversive and satirical.
If I'm honest, your point, even though, like I said, it's not ringing for me. Also, I'm not sure how I don't feel like it relates
okay,
to the question. But, like I said, it's never stopped us before. Two components that I think just muddy the waters even more, for me, are how do we put First Nations into this? Now, again, she says literature, so to a degree, there's a lot less written legends and things from First Nations. But I still think it's a component, because we're talking about different traditions of storytelling. And so we can't lump them in with Western culture. It's clearly, I mean, they're, geographically speaking, it's the West.
Sure.
But,
I mean, I'm not.
Do they have an equivalent to, like, an epic? And then I'm also like, okay, so do migratory patterns affect this? Because, I mean, a lot of these places came from other places.
Sure, sure.
And like I said, I think it just all muddies the water then. I don't even know.
Well, again,
my history with the classics is very limited.
Yeah, and mine is too. I just think that maybe...
Well, and I mean, there is an issue in that the concepts of things like anima and such were less of a thing in Western cosmology. But I mean, I think that just that's how it happened. We have the Abrahamic God made man in his own image. And so then we went from there, whereas there was a lot more environmental, animistic, atavistic aspects to Eastern religions. Like, you never had animal spirits in Western religion and that kind of thing. But I don't know where that translates into sociopolitics, like you were talking
well,
about.
Well, you had animal spirits in tribal Western religion. But you're right, in the imperialistic religions, and maybe in part because of the impact of the Christianity and Judaism and such, that sort of a duality kind of set up, and maybe Zoroastrianism did that, I don't know.
The Greek and Roman gods were all decidedly human. I mean, they could turn into things, and they did usually to get laid for some reason. But, like, none of them in their normal forms were, like, had a boar's head or something
that. Right.
That's interesting. I don't know why.
So I guess I'm wondering if the approach to the sacred in the West is what eventually leads to the difference in having epic or not epic. I don't know.
Well, I mean, here's the other part. Again, because of our limited classics, to us, what's an epic poem? It's a longer one.
Right.
And I'm like, that's not...
It's not just that, I'm sure. But you're right. I mean, that's mostly what you and I think of. Is a longer...
Well, and if I think of, like, say, the fable, to me, that is exclusively an Eastern... That is exclusively not a Western culture thing. No. That's sort of everyone else. African, I think of that. Eastern culture, I think of that. First Nations, I think of that. Fable structure.
Well,
I don't think of that associated with Western.
There's also a distinction, I think, between an epic hero, specifically that,
yeah,
and the way heroism is portrayed in outside of epics.
Do we have non-heroic epics?
That's a good question. I guess I don't think
Jez,
so.
We don't know enough about this. You're going to have to give us a lecture. Like, we'll Skype, and you spend about 3 hours teaching us this stuff, and then we can address... We don't know.
Yeah, I don't... I'm not sure.
Like, I feel like you're picking on us. I feel like there's no way you thought we knew this. I feel like you're just showing off. Jazz is all over there like, oh, I know some... I wonder if I'm going to get tired of that first or
it's
Welsh.
It's an extremely interesting question. I mean, but I've never thought about
Absolutely,
it before.
Absolutely.
Never thought about it.
You send them to Smarter Podcast.
I guess.
Like, I have read some epics.
Sure.
And I think at the time we discussed the form. But again, it was very structural. It was not nearly so much focused on content. It was focused on structure. And I have no idea. Like, the only thing I know about literary structure is there's a couple of almost forgotten bits in the back about what makes a short story besides just the length. and there's some numbers associated with whether or not something's a novel or a novella. And then I remember what iambic pentameter is, but the reason Shakespeare used it was just because it sounded cool, I guess. And that's pretty much all I remember about literary structure. And to be honest, the bits I've forgotten don't consist of much more. Like, I don't know.
I mean, I
think of, like, the Norse epics. You know, Beowulf's an epic, right?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of mythic epics from...
A lot of them are poems.
Yeah, a lot of them are poems.
Also, this is one of those words that has been, like awesome... That, like, has been so...
It's been used in a lot of...
Yeah, it's completely diluted now.
Yeah. Obviously, it means something very specific in the literature world.
Or at least to Jazz.
Yeah, well. I mean, she sent... some of the things she sent me, actually, dealt with, like, the Odyssey and things like that, you know, which is an epic. But
you know what she should do sometime? I dare you to do this, Jazz. In one of these lectures that gets recorded, just, like, say, hi, William. Just at a pause point. Like, okay, now we're going to change to chapter 15. Hi, William. And then go on. Don't address it or anything. And then send it to William. William will listen to it.
Yeah, I'll listen to it. So, I mean, eventually. Sometimes I don't get to him.
Oh, my God.
I do listen to him. We're good.
She knows who I am.
She knows who I am.
Or if you know where the recording device is, that'd be even more fun. Like during a part where somebody else would just go over and be like, hey, William, right now, this person, that's stupid.
Well, she's recording them specifically for this format. She's not giving a lecture and recording it. She's making a video.
Oh, so this isn't in like a class. This is like sitting.
No, yeah, this is something her class has to go listen to.
Oh, I thought this was like an actual recording of a lecture she was giving to a bunch of 18-year-olds or whatever.
Nope.
Well, okay, in that case, you should do that and then say hi to him. Because then I want to hear, Professor, what did you just say? Nothing. What are you talking about? Did you say hi, William?
I am so curious about what Jazz's answer to this question is.
Absolutely go on the blog and tell us what the hell you're talking about, because we aren't smart enough. I do feel like somebody should write in about the other angle, though, with this whole divine right of rule and how to play. I think that could be an interesting topic. Although, it's only interesting now. William's doing it off the top of his head, so I don't know if once he's had time to think about it, it will still be interesting.
Yeah, maybe not.
It's like, I've thought about it, and no.
Nope, not interesting. Kind of dumb. I kind of feel stupid for saying all
that. But it's interesting now, so don't look any of that up. Somebody else write in, and then we'll do that. All right, pull out another thing. So he's clearly tired of your shit, Jez. So,
dear magical talking hat PR team. Oh, this isn't for
us. That is the opposite of us.
Yeah, I guess. Should I put it back?
We are actively trying to get this podcast to go away.
Anyway.
Yep.
Is ketchup on a hot dog ever okay? Azure Talon pronounced as fast as possible.
Well, I feel like you didn't do that.
Right. Was that an instruction?
Oh, you think his name is Azure Talon pronounced as fast as possible.
That's how he signed
the
it.
The third.
Yeah.
His father is Azure Talon pronounced as fast as possible, Junior. And his grandpa is Azure Talon pronounced... That's a shitty family right there.
Do you think his...
No, I believe he wanted you to say...
Is that saying his name as fast as possible?
Yeah, that's why you couldn't even tell. It was, just like, it was even faster.
That was... Wow, that was faster, yeah. Was his grandfather the one that's originally from Loch Ness?
This was an old...
Grandfather come over from Loch Ness, or did his father come over from Loch Ness?
I think they all crawled out of the primordial ooze. I don't know. As fast as possible. This might have been a joke on Family Guy, but I remember when I was a kid, this was a playground thing about, I'm going to say the entire alphabet as fast as possible.
Mm.
And they just go, and they're like, it was so fast, you couldn't even tell. I feel like that. I'm going to say Azure Talon as fast as possible. There it was. You missed it. I feel like in some other universe, you already asked this fucking question. All right. Short answer, we don't care. Do whatever you want on a hot dog.
Yeah, whatever you want.
Long answer, no. It is not okay ever, and we will punish the wicked who put the ketchup on the hot dog and destroy them all with our iron fists.
I wonder why, I mean, you know, back when I ate meat, I had, you know, hot dogs. And mustard on hot dog
Evil
usually?
Evil William's still a vegetarian.
Duh. Don't you understand? The pennies. How many times do we have to explain this? Anyway, back when I ate meat, I'd have hot dogs.
Evil William recycles.
And sometimes I was yeah?
Evil William donates to the Salvation Army at Christmas time.
What are you trying to say?
Nothing.
I just can't resist that guy in the devil suit ringing that bell.
I'm just
I gotta put stuff in that cauldron whenever that guy's ringing his bell. Anyhow, and
Evil some William volunteers at soup kitchen.
Sometimes
he's the only guy there.
Well, how else are you gonna keep those people sick? So anyway, sometimes I was given a hot dog with ketchup on it. Like, oh, here, have this, you know, and I'd eat it.
You're
and
like, bah!
And it's like, this is terrible.
Really?
Yeah, I did not like ketchup on. I didn't know. I mean, a mustard on a hot dog was great. Ketchup on a hot dog seemed gross to me, and I don't know why.
Well, I always do find it weird that those condiments are compared so much because they're drastically different.
Oh yeah,
features.
But I could have mustard and ketchup on a hamburger and think it was great.
Yeah.
But if I had ketchup on a hot dog, even with mustard, I didn't like it.
Okay, full disclosure.
I don't know why.
I can neither confirm nor deny that I've ever had a hot dog with just ketchup on it. Not because of some secret conspiracy. I genuinely can't remember.
Yeah.
If I have, not very often. It's absolutely not something I choose. I feel like I can extrapolate what it would taste like.
Yeah.
Ketchup and a hot dog. And again, not something I would choose, but to me it still seems like it'd be fine. I mean, the thing is, it's sweet.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Ketchup is sweet.
Yeah, yeah.
And so if that's...
But the weird thing is like...
Like sweet relish?
Yeah, sweet relish on a hot dog is great, but for some reason, I don't know what it was. Like,
now with a veggie dog, you wouldn't do that either. What do you do with a veggie dog?
Well, it's the same thing. But yeah. I don't think it would be the same because veggie dogs taste so different.
Hmm.
I think there was something about the ketchup on the hot dog, and I always had beef hot dogs too, so I don't know if that makes a difference, but like all the other flavors in the ketchup, because ketchup can have a tang too, because it's tomato. It can have a little tang.
There's a little vinegar going on.
Sure. So something like that was all canceled out and was like someone put sugar on it. Hmm. It's like for some reason I couldn't taste anything but the sweet and it just didn't taste good. I don't know why.
And I don't know. I also am a person who is fine with and frequently enjoys sweet and savory together.
Oh, yeah, me too, sure.
But so, like, okay, this is kind of
maybe it was just
really
bad ketchup.
Fucking weird. I would never choose this. I would never even suggest this. But I feel like if someone gave me a hot dog and they had put maple syrup on it, I'd be fine with
it. Really?
I mean, again, not something I would choose, but I feel like I could eat it and I wouldn't be like, ugh. I'd be like, eh, it's not really my thing, but okay.
Yeah, I don't know. It just...
Well, because I'm fine with syrup with, like, breakfast sausage and stuff. I love
that.
Oh,
yeah.
Or, like, the maple sweet sausage.
A lot of people
stuff.
Like that. You can even get sausage that has a maple flavor in it.
Yeah, yeah. No, the producer fucking hates that. Mm. So we have, yeah, we're very different on that. Like, I would like to buy, like, the sweet smoked bacon and stuff, and she doesn't like that. Well, and, like, McDonald's has the McGriddles that are on two griddle cakes, which are not pancakes or any other food stuff that has ever existed. They're like a thin, holeless donut, maybe. I don't know, a little pancake sort of. I think it's supposed to be like a pancake. I mean, they call it a griddle cake, so. But it has maple syrup baked in, which means it is just full of these small pockets of syrup.
Mm.
It's very, but it means it's a very sweet, savory thing, and I like them just fine.
Mm. I don't know.
Hmm. So, yeah, short answer, we don't care. Long answer, we will destroy you all. But to be fair, that's the long answer for most questions. In fact, to actually go back earlier to... Oh, hold on. In answer to... All right. The podcast thing with Mark. The longer answer is we will destroy you all. Like any other podcast? No, we'll destroy you all. And Jazz, about the epic thing, and what does that say about the cultures? We don't know, but we will destroy you all.
I always
thought I will. That William will take your penny.
I always thought that one with us.
William's going to rob you of one penny, and then I will murder you. So it's a bad day all around. It's not nearly as bad the other way around. Because you're not alive to see your penny get stolen.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want them to die. I want them to suffer. So I take their penny.
Start, and don't get me wrong. That's why we always let the penny thief go first.
Exactly.
Because it renders it pointless otherwise.
So why do you put them out of their misery? Just let them mourn the loss of their penny.
Just like that warm blood dripping over my hands.
Yeah, I guess there's that. I'm a germaphobe, so I just can't deal with that part. I even have to wear gloves when I take the penny. You don't know where those things have been.
I do.
Kids eat them.
Have I eaten a penny? I had a nickel. And then I forgot I had eaten a nickel.
Mm-hmm.
And then I couldn't figure out what that thing was in the toilet. And then I was like, holy crap! And I went and told my friend, been there when I had eaten the nickel. And I was like, guess what I just found? He's like, what? I said, the nickel. He's like, what? I'm like, the nickel. He's like, no. By the way, in case you can't figure it out, I was in college and we had been drinking.
Mm.
But I was like, the nickel. He's like, what happened? I'm like, it sank because it's metal. And I swallowed that. I swallowed a metal ball bearing. Apparently, he'd swallowed a marble, but it was like young enough that I don't have any memory of that.
Mm.
And then one time I swallowed a little piece of plastic that had like broken off of this... I think it was a novelty pen for Valentine's.
Mm-hmm.
And what it was the pen itself was like an arrow going through this fluid glitter filled plastic heart in the middle.
Mm.
So it was like, and the end had the little fletching things, and one of those had broken off, and I had swallowed it. And my parents were worried about that one because it was kind of sharp.
Yeah.
So it could do something.
Yeah.
That one, we never saw that one again, and we didn't go looking for it or anything.
Mm.
The ball bearing, Mom had to search every time.
Why?
Well, to make sure it passed.
Oh, okay. Because
it's dangerous in there. Every time it sank, I should say. That was what I had to do. I was like 8, and I literally ran out of the bathroom. Mom's on the phone. I'm like, Mom, I got a sinker. What's worse is we got it, and we cleaned it off, and then we put it back in the thing. It was in one of those Gravitrons. I had my own Gravitron, like you see in like a museum of science and industry.
Yeah.
they made littler, the guy who made them made littler ones. Mm. And I had a hand-cranked one, and it had ball bearings in it. I swallowed one of those. When it was done, we put it back in the game. Mm. And you could always tell which one it was. It was always a little tarnished.
Oh, I thought it might be actually cleaner because you had to clean it up.
Nope.
Mm.
Nope.
So that's what happens to ball bearings when they go through.
Huh? Yes. Did you ever... Remember the magnets? How do they work? No. The Chinese Batman toy.
Chinese a few years ago. Batman.
Yeah, it was another toy that got recalled. That came out of China, and it was a Batman figure, and he had magnets in his feet because he'd like hooked to the playset or whatever.
Oh, okay.
But the magnets could come out.
Mm-hmm.
And if you swapped, they were very strong magnets. And so what happened is a kid would swallow them, and they would start passing through the intestines, and basically one was in one loop of the intestine and one was in a different loop, and they would connect. Or like they would be pulled to each other.
Oh, no.
And basically it would pinch the intestine and eventually could wear away a hole in the intestine. Yeah, oh, it was really bad. Oh,
my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's one of those things, like, it never occurred to me, but as soon as they explained, I was like, oh, shit, yeah. That's not good.
That's bad.
Yeah, because they were that. And that was the thing, is both, the problem was that they came out too easily and that they were really strong. Yeah. So. See, even Evil William doesn't like kids dying.
No. Or being significantly harmed.
Evil Tony's pretty cool with it. Okay. But to be fair, good Tony's not that bothered.
Are we going to draw another one or are we done?
No, I got time. No, no, no.
I think it's your turn.
Oh, is it my turn? Yeah. In that case, no. I don't have gloves to put on to reach into this hat. Magical germ-laden hat. Excuse
Bless
William.
You.
You want to hear me say Adrenaline really fast?
No.
Too late, I already did.
Oh.
Want to hear it again? Too late, did it. Craig. Will America, a famous wrestler. Will America. No. Will America ever move on from the cultural focus of individual exceptionalism? Should it? Yes, and motherfucking yes. Now, this is interesting. He doesn't say American exceptionalism. He says individual exceptionalism.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Very different.
That's interesting.
American exceptionalism sucks. Wholeheartedly disagree with it. It's awful. It's stupid. I do not think it will continue. But the concept of individual exceptionalism is, at least we are led to believe, very deeply founded, deeply integrated into the founding of this country. And it certainly was the cultural heart of this country for a lot of its history. And I disagree with that, too. I mean, I'm fundamentally a socialist, so... and I also have less value for human life than you might expect. I mean, I assume it will go away just because everything does. Like, I don't believe that any nation is going to have a philosophy that lasts for the entirety of that nation. That just seems weird to me.
Well, if they do, they don't stay a nation for very long.
And I feel like there are a lot of people in this country that are rejecting the concept of exceptionalism.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I think that's mostly true.
As for should it, I think absolutely. To me, that runs counter to... I mean, this is something I've thought about a lot since I've been hanging out with you. Because you, anarchist, and very much are a small-scale community guy.
Right.
You very much want these small communities. Larger scale is when a lot of this shit happens. And I don't necessarily disagree with you in terms of cause and effect thing. So a lot of times I think about the law as the law is a thing that you do to have society. It's not a thing that you do for people. It's a thing you do for society. there's a lot of laws and a lot of things built into the concept of law. And the reason that you can't just be anarchist above a certain scale so that society can function. It's not because it's the right thing to do. It's because all of these people living together will fall apart if we don't do this. And I personally feel that exceptionalism is one of those things that you have to, in the long run, reject for that reason in a society. I feel that it is a social problem. Because there's the whole nature of society on any large scale is to give up a bit of one's individuality in exchange for security and comfort. And so if you get obsessed with individual exceptionalism, then everybody always thinks that they're above the law, basically. That they're the exception. Sorry. That got tautological and I didn't mean to, but that's the point. Like, if everybody thinks they're exceptional, they always think that they're the exception.
Yeah, help make sure that I'm on the same page in terms of what even intellectual exceptionalism, individual exceptionalism is.
Just the idea that, well, to me, the idea that one person can be its own thing, essentially. That, like, well, here's one for you. The idea that if you pick the right president, they'll fix everything.
Is it also included in the idea is that if you pick the quote-unquote right president, or the president that won, that means something to you personally, like you're better than the people who didn't?
Not necessarily. I mean, if you think that's the right person and other people don't, clearly you're better than them in that you know who the right person is. But no, I don't think it necessarily reflects on your character. But just this idea in general. Well, it's the hero story to a degree. It's the hero story gone mad. It's the idea that things, one person can make a difference. The idea that one person can be the crux of something. That you can solve social problems, like one person can go up and do the thing and can fix it all. And one person can solve a social problem. I think the whole idea is ridiculous. I mean, this may not be how Craig is defining it, and I may be absolutely molesting certain sociological terms here. I'm not sure. But just this idea that, yeah, it's that it's about the individual rather than about the people.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
It's very closely tied into the pull yourself up by your own bootstraps concept,
which is ridiculous.
And it's the independence thing. Is how you become successful is by one person working really hard, or one person being really smart, or that's how they become a success is by their own prowess.
Yeah. Well, of course, however hard a person works, I think, from a sociological perspective. And just from a historical perspective, I think it's pretty clear that the way people get things done is by finding the right people to work with.
Well, and just a lot of external factors.
Yeah, well, it's just...
The time you were raised, the place you were raised.
Yeah, nobody achieves anything in a vacuum.
Exactly. But I mean, America is big on the self-made man.
Well, they're big on the hero worship in general.
Yes.
Like, we've got this... I've talked about this on the podcast. We've got this big marble statue of Abraham Lincoln, and we think that he did this and he did that. Well, he didn't do those things. A group of people that he was part of did those things.
Yeah.
And the things that you can attribute to him personally, like, say, the Gettysburg Address, was still influenced by a lot of events and a lot of other people. Mm-hmm. He probably even had people proofread it for him. I mean, there's just nobody achieves anything at all, much less anything great, all by themselves. It just doesn't happen like that. It's never been like that. But
America is very big into that concept.
Yeah, American culture does tend to think in those terms.
And I think that's, I think that is dangerous to a society.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not even going to go into the ethics. I mean, I think it's dumb, for starters, but I think it's dangerous to a society, because if you believe that, then you might be it's why people will say, like, no, I believe X, and everybody else tells me that's wrong, but you know what? I'm right. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying you go with the crowd or whatever, but I'm just saying this idea that if I believe hard enough, chemtrails are real. Like, no, it's not. There's a reason why everybody else thinks you're full of shit. Like, yeah. Or at least consider heavily the idea that maybe everyone else disagrees with you because you're wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
And instead, in American society especially, believe in yourself. Always believe in yourself. No, sometimes don't believe in yourself, because sometimes you're wrong and full of shit. And that's true for absolutely everybody, except me, of course. And this idea, yeah, if you just, it's confidence. It's all about confidence. If you just believe in yourself, you can do anything. No, you fucking can't. If you believe in yourself and have a lot of other help and get lucky, you might be able to do anything. Specific anything.
Well, also,
but it's not just if you work hard enough and believe and never give up, you can do anything. No, there's a lot of other factors.
Sure.
Also, love is not enough to build a marriage on by itself. Also, there's other factors, people. Shit's going on. There's other people involved. And to quote, to paraphrase Stephen Sondheim, no one is alone.
Well, this reminds me of another, there's been a couple, like, there's a couple of videos, there's specific videos that I've seen lately that talk about the history of humankind, and they just sort of offhand talk about the process of humanity coming about. And in both of these videos, again, in an offhand way, they talked about how, you know, humans started and then eventually they formed tribes. No. but you see what I'm saying? There's this assumption that individual human beings emerged somewhere and did their own thing for a while as individuals and then decided, hey, maybe it'd be better if we formed tribes. That's not what happened. Humans have been tribes the whole time. We started out tribes. We're still tribes. We're always going to be tribes. We're tribal people. And there's never been an individual doing their own thing without a connection to other people. Never. Ever.
In the history of lions, they would just do their own thing and then eventually they formed prides?
I don't know.
No, I made that. I was backing you on this. That's okay. Not how it works.
But I mean, in a lot of other primates, the same thing, that have tribal groups. You know, they didn't decide to do that. That's just how they have always been.
Here's one
how they've always survived.
Two people, two completely unrelated to each other people, both discovered calculus. Calculus.
Independently.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That should prove right there that no one person is that big a deal. Like, we could even have calculus without the dude who came up with calculus, because guess what? There was another dude who came up with calculus.
And if you talked to both of those guys and asked them, or women, or whatever it was, and said, hey, how did this happen?
It was two men, because of course it was. I'm sure, like, 12 women discovered it long before, but nobody
but
fucking
it,
listened
it, But
to
if
them.
You talked to them and asked them what the story was of them discovering it, they wouldn't say they were sitting all by themselves somewhere and didn't talk to someone for 10 years and came up with it. They talked to this person, they talked to that person, they sent a letter to this person and asked them what they thought of it.
And
they got an idea from that person over there.
They probably had an education before that.
Yeah.
Of some sort.
Exactly. So they probably had a teacher that inspired them to even take this course of inquiry. There's always going to be other people involved in it.
But that being said, when you look at it, it has been a few hundred years now and we're still doing this shit. So hopefully, Craig, exceptionalism will go away from American culture at some point. Should it? Absolutely. Abso-freaking-lutely. And with that, I think we've done our community service, so we can get out of here. Join those guys next week, because we won't. Go to the blog and tell us what you would do with the homeless people. Also, attach MP3 files of what you think jazz sounds like.
I don't think that really works, but that's
and
okay.
You don't know. People might.
You don't know.
There could be things. In the meantime, we don't like you, but those other guys do.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat at gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.